May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 685. When Noah with his favoured few was ordered to embark, 8 human souls, a little crew, entered on board his ark. Hymn 685.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we'll read the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. Second chapter in the first epistle of Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, whose own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. May God bless to us his holy word of truth and help us now in prayer. Almighty and holy Lord God, hear us as we bow again in thy presence around thy word for worship. In this, the evening hour of the day that thou hast appointed for worship. And Lord, may it be one of those times when thou hast appointed for a blessing to be poured out upon the assembly of God, which there will not be room enough to receive. Fill us this night with the love of God in Christ Jesus. May that love influence and constrain how we conduct ourselves during the days of this week to come. Help us, Lord, to glorify and honour and to worship thy holy name. Help us, Lord, to follow thy steps in the way of holiness. Give us, Lord, that grace to turn away from sin. Bless us with the very Spirit of Christ. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. Grant, Lord, that witness this night in many hearts, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Lord, if we come aright, come to worship thee. We come to adore thee, we come to honour thee, to declare our total allegiance to thee. We come to seek thee. Lord, grant there may be many true seekers who are made finders this night of thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the mercies of this thy day. This day that we can come apart and rest a while from the cares of life. We thank thee for thy precious word of truth, for thy house, thy holy throne of mercy and of grace, for thy people. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for these mercies, these greatest of all mercies, that there is a way of salvation. May we wonder and marvel at it, and may it, Lord, be our chief desire to be found in that way of faith. Lead us, Lord, in that way to heaven. And do hear and answer the opening hymn of our worship this morning. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed us now and evermore. Open now, Lord, thy rich treasure, and grant us to see the beauty of Emmanuel. Grant light, life, liberty, and love. And grant that we may drink of that fullness which is in Christ Jesus. By the work and power and influence of thy Holy Spirit, give us the right to call thee our Father and our friend. Bless this cause of truth. We affectionately commend them to thee. We ask thy richest blessing to be over them and upon them. Surround them, Lord, with thy glorious presence and protecting care. Keep Satan at bay. May thy Holy Spirit ever abide here. May this be a true Bethel to thy people. May, Lord, their needs and wants be supplied here. May their souls be fed and watered and established in thy most holy faith and strengthened by thee. Lord, may this be the place where thou hast appointed the spiritual birth of many in Israel and the spiritual growth of many in thy flock. Bless this church and watch over each member of it. And grant thy wisdom to the deacons of this cause to handle matters wisely and thus find good. And bless each member of this congregation with eternal life. Lord, thou knowest the various needs of each one before thee this night. Some, Lord, need thee to open doors for them. Some, Lord, are in deep trouble and disappointment and darkness and trial. Lord, do deliver them and do sanctify the fiery trial to their never-dying souls and get honour and glory to thy holy and precious name. Some, Lord, are in prosperity. And Lord, we need keeping just as much in time of prosperity and ease and peace as in times of adversity. Some, Lord, need direction. And Lord, we all need pardon for sin. We all need grace. We all need the gift of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, the hymn writer says, a fullness abides in Jesus our head. Lord, may we prove it even this night, and may this church and people prove it day by day. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. But do, Lord, supply the needs of this people. Family needs, church needs, business needs, individual needs, school needs, university needs, the needs of never-dying souls. And Lord, bless thy servants as they labour week by week in this pulpit, and send them as thy messengers and ambassadors, and give them a message for this people. And give to this people hearing ears, prayerful receiving hearts, and obedient feet. And do add unto this people those whom thou hast ordained to eternal life. And may there yet be the growth in this congregation from outside. And bless Zion at large. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Establish and strengthen her. And grant that godly, gracious increase in numbers. And grant, Lord, that godly, gracious increase in grace, in faith, in humility, in hope, that nearer walking with God. So we ask thy blessing. Bless any, Lord, who are absent this night, those who are away, those who are at home with little ones and loved ones. And do, Lord, grant them even this night to know thy presence and thy blessing. Help us now as we turn to thy holy word. As we plead for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well, the native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Hymn 739.
Seeking thee, Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, the opening clause in verse 7. Peter's first epistle, the second chapter, the opening words in verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. We have here one of the marks of a true believer. One who finds Jesus Christ to be precious. One who finds Jesus Christ to be attractive. One who finds Jesus Christ to be the chiefest of their joys. The chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. And those who do not find him precious will find him, by contrast, to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. You and I are in one of these two camps. You can't be neutral. You either find Jesus precious, or you'll find him an offence. You will either find the truth of the gospel draws and attracts you, or you will find it will repel you. Those in the first part of this verse are defined as believers, those which believe. And one of the fruits of believing is that we will find Jesus precious, because we come to know him for ourselves as he really is. He won't just be an historical figure. A real Christian knows Jesus. Do you know him? As Saviour, as Shepherd, as Master, and as King? Or are we a stranger to him? And to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. What does this word believe mean? It means trust. It means confidence. It means dependence. It means reliance. It means resting in Jesus Christ. That is the difference between real faith and just a natural faith. A natural faith will merely believe that Jesus Christ is a real person. You may even believe that he is who he claims to be, God the Son and the Son of God. You may assent to all the doctrines in your head, but unless you experience them in your soul, unless you come to rely on Jesus Christ, you haven't got a real faith. The devils believe and tremble. They too believe in the doctrines of grace. They too believe that Jesus Christ is God, the Son, and the Son of God. But it doesn't do them any good. And while, of course, an element of true believing is, of course, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is also God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. It's much, much more than that. True believing is knowing him, loving him, following him, trusting him, relying upon him. And the more he is revealed to you, the more precious you will find him to be. The more you are given the eye of faith, and clearer sight, the more you will view the glory of Emmanuel. The more you will find Jesus Christ to be most precious, to be attractive, to be that one that you love above all other, that one who you desire to be in his company the most, unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious. And of course, I can only begin with God's help to tell you this evening of the preciousness of Christ. Friends, to finish this subject will be an eternity. It will take a never-ending eternity to fully understand the preciousness that is in Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But may we be helped in the short time we have here this evening to consider some of the preciousness and the attractiveness that is found and that you will find in Jesus Christ if you are a real believer and put your religion to the test. You may not this evening be able to say with the confidence you would like that you are a believer. May you be able to put your religion to the test and be able to trace with me in your own heart what true believers find precious about him, Jesus Christ. You will find precious the fact that Jesus, the very name of Jesus, means Saviour. And the name Christ means anointed or appointed one. And so Jesus Christ is the appointed, the anointed Saviour of God. The only Saviour, the real Saviour. And if you and I are true believers, we will find most precious the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Saviour of sinners. in what you've just been singing. This is the language of one who's in our text, to Christ, "For help I fly." The friend of sinners lost, a refuge, sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. Lord, grant me free access unto thy pierced side. For there I seek my dwelling place, and there my guilt would hide. If you know Jesus as Saviour, you will come to him in prayer with that language. Maybe not necessarily those words, but it will be the spirit of that hymn you've just sung. Because, friends, a revealed view of Jesus Christ as Saviour will make you realise your need of salvation. Part of this revelation is to make you know and need and feel what it is to need Jesus Christ. And as he supplies all your needs, he will become more and more precious unto you. I may have told you before, but it's a stark illustration. Somebody was once asked why they never came to God's house, why they were not a Christian. And he gave a simple answer: because I don't need him. Friend, do you need him tonight? Is that why you're here this evening? Or are we just here by tradition? Just here because we've been brought up to it? Because if you don't need him, you won't find Jesus precious. If you don't need Jesus, you'll shun his company. If you don't need Jesus, you will never be found seeking after him. And the difference between a believer and one who is lost is the fact that the believer knows his need of Jesus Christ. Does your religion pass that test tonight? Do you know that you need Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Have you been brought to that realization that you need a Saviour, that you need pardon for sin, that you need to be delivered from the condemnation which falls upon the lost? And to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He's precious as the Saviour. As that one who delivers from hell these who he came to save. He is precious that he delivers from the power and the captive and the bondage of Satan these who he comes to save. He is precious in the fact that he delivers from the guilt and the shame and the defilement of the personal sins of these who he comes to save. And if you find him precious as Saviour, you will find the language in it the psalmist was led to use in one of his psalms. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Hear the psalmist. Is pleading the name of Jesus, although Jesus had yet to be revealed in all his fullness in the centuries to come, yet we find here that the psalmist is really pleading for the name of Jesus, because it's for his name's sake and his name's sake alone that you will prove God to be the God of your salvation. It's for his sake that you will be delivered, that you will be helped, that your sins will be purged away for the glory of his name. Not for our sake, but for his name's sake, for the honor of his name. He delivers. He purges. That means he covers the sins of his people. He takes those sins away. He removes them. Those who are found in our text, as they prove him as Saviour, will find that he removes their sin. He removes the love of sin. He removes the guilt of sin. He removes the power of sin. As he gives you that new nature, and to you therefore which believe, he is precious. Can you say then he is precious as the Saviour? You might not yet be able to say you find him precious as my Saviour, but can you go this far? You find an attraction and you find gratitude in your heart that there is a Saviour. And you know that that Saviour is Jesus. And there is what all your hope hangs upon as you come before God in prayer. No, you do not know it yet. You are a believer. You are proving this name to be precious. And in his own time, he will reveal him to you as your Saviour. Whether in this time or in the time to come, some of God's people in God's sovereignty can never say with the certainty they would like this side of the grave that he is their Saviour. But they will certainly be able to the other side. Some, of course, can. Some have the full assurance of hope. Some can say with certainty that he is their Saviour. And they can point to you those times when God revealed himself to them as their Saviour. Some have a hope. But despise not that hope if it is founded upon the word of God. Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. And that brings us to another precious point, doesn't it? linked really, the Lamb of God. You will find the Lamb of God precious. One of the names and offices. It's really the same as Saviour, isn't it? The Passover Lamb. Was slain the night that the children of Israel were to be delivered from Egyptian bondage. It wasn't until the blood was slain and applied to the doorposts and lintels that they were delivered. They couldn't go out before that night, before that blood had been shed and applied. And once that blood had been shed and applied, Pharaoh couldn't get them back again. The point is, friends, that Passover lamb was innocent of sin. It hadn't sinned, had it? But either that lamb died or the firstborn in the Israelites' house died. There had to be a death. And if you read the account with the eye of faith, those clear instructions given to Moses in that early chapter in Exodus, you will find such a preciousness as it refers to Jesus Christ. It's one of the types appointed to Christ. A lamb had to be selected. And there was strict criteria which had to be met. That lamb had to be healthy. It had to have a pure coat. And there was not to be a spot or a wrinkle in that coat. There wasn't to be a scar in that coat. It wasn't to be wounded. It wasn't to be a sickling. It was to be the very best lamb of that flock. A lamb. And as the shepherd went to his flock to look for that lamb, he might look over his flock and see various lambs which might fit the criteria. But once the lamb had been selected, it became not a lamb, the lamb. The lamb appointed for sacrifice. The lamb appointed to be slain in the stead, in the room, and in the place of the firstborn. That lamb was to die that the firstborn might live. And then if you read on later in that chapter, you come to those sweet words, your lamb. And can some of you see the preciousness in that illustration as it points to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God? The holiness, the justice, the majesty, the sovereignty of God demanded, the honor of God demanded that sin must be punished. All sin, without exception, must and will be punished to the full extent that the holy justice of God demands. You and I can't escape that fact. And God has revealed in his word that nothing but experiencing the almighty anger of God against those sins is a just punishment. Until those sins be put away. Now, the suffering in hell does not put away one sin, because they are not holy sufferings. Those who are in hell this evening hour, they continue to sin as they suffer. And therefore, their suffering is not acceptable to God as a sacrifice for putting away sin. And therefore, they will continually be in that place of agony and torment and misery. Because not all their sufferings will atone for one sin, let alone the innumerable company of sins that we all have in a lifetime. Now, if you and I are going to get to heaven, because we are sinners, we need to be saved from what we deserve, which is that eternal misery in hell. And in order to be saved, the punishment that is due to us must be experienced by another. Jesus Christ upon that cross at Calvary. Experienced the full weight of the anger of God against each and every sin committed by these who are by his grace brought to believe in him. And only those whose sins were laid upon him will be saved from hell. And so, friends, you see, a lamb is needed. The lamb appointed is Jesus Christ. In his holy human humanity, you and I need to be able to call him our lamb. Can you say your lamb? And if you can, that's when you'll find him to be most precious. If by faith you have been brought to trust your soul's salvation, and if it rests upon him alone, then you can say, he's my lamb. If you find him precious as Saviour, it's because he's your Saviour. If you find that there's something that draws yourself to him, and you have to go to him in confession of your sins, day by day, hour by hour, sometimes even moment by moment, you will be brought to that point where you can say, my lamb. And you know this, the promise that was given in the Passover night was this: when I see the blood, the applied blood, the blood shed and applied to the houses, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not when you see it. Now, of course, it's more comforting, isn't it, to you and to me when we can see it. But friend, our salvation doesn't rest in the fact that we see it. It rests in the fact that God Almighty, sitting upon his throne, sees it. And though you may not be able to see it tonight, poor trembling one, you have been brought to trust in him. Your heavenly Father sees it. And he looks upon you through that blood, and you're safe from the destroying angel. Justice will sheathe its sword and pass over you because you're under the blood, this precious blood, which Peter says elsewhere in his epistle. For his previous chapter, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold received from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He is precious as Saviour. He is precious in his holiness and righteousness. The more you see of what you really are by nature, the more you precious you will find the holiness in the life that Jesus lived upon earth. The more it will attract you, and the more your own life will repel you. You'll see a beauty in that life. You'll see a suitability in that life. You will see an attraction in that life. Because, beloved friends, first of all, in order to be your Saviour, the holy human Jesus had to be without sin of his own. A sinner cannot be a saviour, either for himself or for anybody else. Jesus Christ was without sin. He was without spot. And then that will bring you to see preciousness in the holy humanity of Jesus, in that he lived as a man, as a boy, as a babe. And that holy human obedience has lived on behalf of his church. That obedience is a robe of righteousness. that garment which covers the shame of believers. And to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. You will find him precious in his Godhead. Because as God, he is all powerful. As God, he is almighty. As God, he is all wise. As God, he is all knowing. As God, he is all wisdom. As God, he is ever present. As God, he is able and willing and has the authority and the power to save you. As the hymn writer says, he is a portion all believers crave. He's man to suffer, but he is God to save. And he does save with so great a salvation. As God, you can go to him in prayer with your greatest needs. And he will supply those needs. Not only that, he will exceed those needs. He is well able to do more than you can think even, than you can ask for. You cannot measure the greatness and the power of God. He is precious. When he sends forth his Holy Spirit to work in you, his precious faith, and to keep you in the way of salvation. You see, friends, if you and I are believers, we have got two natures within. First nature we were born with, sinful, polluted, vile, that delights to be at war with God and loves to cleave unto Satan and the world and sin. And child of God, it is your grief, isn't it, that you have that nature? And perhaps this evening you sit in wonderment and say, how is it that after all these years in the way of faith, I still have this old nature within which so oppresses me and still goes after sin as it always did? It hasn't weakened. You're ready to say, perhaps you're out of the secret. Well, you're not. You see, what you need to understand is this, that the Holy Spirit of God leaves that old nature completely. He never touches it. He doesn't try and reform it. He doesn't teach it. He doesn't keep it. He doesn't bless it. He leaves it as it was. As it always will be. Polluted, an enemy with God. What he does when he comes in that moment of the new birth, is he gives a new nature, which we didn't have when we were born. And that new nature, which is entirely of his own making, is holy and pure. That nature is the nature which has faith, has hope, has love. This is a nature which does believe in the way our text defines. This is a nature that finds Jesus precious, whereas your old nature doesn't find him precious. And it is the new nature that God blesses. It is the new nature that God keeps. It is the new nature that God guides. And so you will be taught. And it is a lifelong lesson to learn your need of Jesus sending his Holy Spirit into your heart to keep you in this way. Because your old nature is a traitor in the camp. It is unreformed. It is unreformable. Because God doesn't choose to reform it. Why, you say, does he choose to leave it? Why doesn't he destroy it at the moment of new birth? To teach you dependence upon him. To remind you of your need of salvation. To remind you that this is not your rest here. That old nature will be destroyed at the moment of death, but not before. But he will keep your new nature. You won't be permitted to sin your way into hell. You won't be permitted to fall out of the covenant of grace. He'll keep that nature at his feet until it is his will to take you home to glory. And to you therefore which believe, he is precious. And then again you'll find his name precious when you plead that holy name in prayer. You'll find that name to be a shield. There's a hymn not in our book, but it seems to fit very attractively with this particular point. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Now you can only have that precious name with you as God gives you the faith. You can't take that name in your own carnal wisdom and plead it. You need the Holy Spirit of God to give you the faith. To have the shield of faith. But this is where you are going to fight the devil on your knees. Pleading the name of Jesus. Asking God for help and deliverance for the precious sake of that name. You aren't going to get the better of Satan with your own wisdom, with your own cunning, with your own resolve, with your own experience. Satan can only be defeated with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ, how he fought Satan? It is written. It is written, it is written. His whole life was founded on the Word of God. And that's what yours and mine should be. We should know the Word of God. We should plead the Word of God. And when you come into temptation, ask God to give you an "it is written," which will repel Satan and which will keep you from the hour of temptation. And falling into sin. and you will find a preciousness in pleading the name of Jesus Christ when you find that the Lord does come to your aid. He does help. He does deliver. He does support. He has delivered. He doth deliver, in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Margin reading, honourable, or an honour. I looked this up before I came out this evening. And what it means is an honourable person who we esteem, who we look up to, who we admire. And someone who is honourable is someone who is true, who is steadfast. Their words and actions are true, wise and good. And they do things in the right way, for the right reasons. While above all others, Jesus is honourable. In his word, in his life, in his death. The Apostle Peter says, I believe, looking unto Jesus. That's really what this word is, honourable, looking unto Jesus. Looking to him as your example, to teach you how to live. Looking to him to teach you what spirit you should be of, whether it is resisting Satan, whether it is not answering those who despitefully treat you in the same manner, which is what Peter was exhorting at the end of this chapter. For Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example he should follow his steps. If you find Jesus precious, you will follow his steps. And one of those steps is when you suffer. When you are persecuted. When you are despised. If grace is strong, you'll seek to be still. Not to answer in your own natural way, not to try and get even. Not to be angry. Not to revile again, not to threaten, but to go to prayer. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. In other words, when he was reviled, when he suffered, when he was despised, when he was slandered, he didn't try and excuse himself. We read he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. In other words, he committed his cause to his heavenly Father. That's what true believers are called to do. God's honour demands it. We are called to honour God. In our words, in our actions, in our spirit. In other words, friends, there should be nothing in our lives which should make us ashamed to look at Jesus when he comes again in glory and honour and power in the last great day. Now, of course, we can't achieve it, can we? Because we're sinners. But friends, that doesn't mean we should be satisfied with anything less. It should be a grief to us that we fall so far short. But if you find Jesus precious, you will desire to honour him by following him in his steps, by being obedient, by having a right spirit, by seeking to keep his commandments. And to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He is precious in his love, the love of God in Christ Jesus. And when that love is shed abroad in your heart, you will find it most attractive, most valuable, most precious. You will find his company is precious and his words are precious. No other company and no other voice will compare to the voice of Jesus as he speaks to you by his Holy Spirit. You know, don't you, some of you, the voice of Jesus, how precious it is. You know, some of it, some of you, the presence of Jesus. And you wouldn't mourn his absence if you didn't know his presence. You wouldn't mourn his silence if you hadn't heard his voice. And to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. We must close. As I say, we've only just begun with this subject. You know, friends, the hymn writer says this: in every office he sustains, in every victory he gains, in every counsel of his will, he's precious to his people still. That takes some singing, doesn't it? Because some of the counsels of his will go directly against your will. That fiery trial, that unanswered prayer. In every counsel of his will, he's precious to his people still. You may not be able to sing it this evening, but ask God to give you the grace to be able to submit. And though you do not understand this evening why he has, in his wisdom, gone the way he has with you, ask him to give you the faith to trust him, though you cannot understand what he is doing, because he's too wise to err, he's too good to be unkind. Be still and know that I am God. Sit still. Wait on patiently. And the day will come when you will see the need be why this particular trial had to be walked through, and that it was the right way, sure enough. And then you'll be brought to confess that not health, nor wealth, nor sounding fame, nor earth's deceitful empty name, with all its pomp and all its glare, can with a precious Christ compare. Friends, you've got a good religion if nothing can compare with Jesus Christ. If something compares with him, that's an idol. It's putting something above God. But you're in the right way if you can truly say that nothing can compare to Jesus Christ to you. Then the day will come and you will see this precious Christ face to face. And you'll sing of that preciousness of your Redeemer in heaven above forevermore. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £630, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 90. Now begin the heavenly theme. Sing aloud in Jesus' name. Ye who his salvation prove, triumph in redeeming love. Hymn number 90.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name this day. Take us under thy safe care and keeping. Bless any dear friend who now departs. Go with them. Watch over them, protect them, keep them. And likewise, remember those of us who now, at thy gracious command, seek to remember thy dying love, and any, Lord, who will watch from afar. Say unto our souls, thou art our salvation. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.